Breaking Free by Emery Loon. The First Day.
It's been over 2 years since Damian regretfully surrendered at the end of the Civil War, instead of fighting to the death. He's been Watermaster Molsey's personal captive this entire time, spending almost every moment with him, both awake and asleep. He just tries to endure. He takes life moment by moment, and tries to endure being a pet and sex toy. He's not allowed to die. He can't find a way to escape. So he simply tries to endure. Damion's life is generally pretty boring, but ultimately kind of peaceful in a weird sort of way. As Molsey likes to remind him, he has no worries or concerns. He just does as he is instructed. There is no weight on his shoulders. No need to plan for the future. No need to worry about the past. He's allowed to simply be, right now, perpetually. Damian spends most of his time reading. Molsey taught him how to read and write, and now that is his primary activity. He's a slow reader, given how long he went illiterate, but he has had ample time to practice, and in no rush to ever complete a book. Sometimes Damian reads fiction to escape reality and join another world. Sometimes he reads non-fiction, so he can learn more about the world and the past. Molsey enjoys talking with him about what he's reading, and will helpfully point him towards books that might interest him. Molsey doesn't restrict what he can read, and instead seems to enthusiastically encourage whatever interest Damian expresses. The fucking has reduced in frequency, as it seems to do in any relationship, even a master and pet relationship apparently. They may even go a couple days without fucking at all. Damian just enjoys the experience. He perceives it as a momentary dip into blissful sensations and relaxing afterglow. Molsey is an attentive lover, enjoying focusing on Damian's physical pleasure, making it easier to endure. Molsey and Damian train together every day. They run through a training routine and then spend the second half of their time sparring. Damian was gloriously able to break Molsey's nose. Many times. He's broken Molsey's ribs and fingers too. Many times. To much delight.
Damian is the better fighter, and Molsey knows it. Sure, when using magic, Molsey has no equal. But without magic, and fighting almost as mortal, Damian is far superior. Molsey tries to learn everything he can. At first Damian resisted giving any tips, but his walls eventually fell, and now he freely points out Molsey's mistakes and how to improve. The pet really is teaching the master. They had gotten into a routine. Damian believed this would be the rest of his life. He stopped looking for avenues of escape. He had stopped worrying about the future and completely stopped thinking of it at all, let alone how to change it. Then, suddenly, Harmura's Sanctum Masters decided to get involved. It was incredibly strange when, 9 months ago, Molsey sat on the floor with Damian to give him the news. Molsey was being summoned to a master's summit to discuss Damion's status. Enough masters believe that Damian is a slave, and therefore Molsey is in violation of the Harmuran Civil War Treaty. They want to assemble to decide if the abolition of slavery applies to more than just humans, and whether or not Damian is a slave or a prisoner. If Molsey does not appear at the summit, all trade between the Water Sanctum and the other sanctums would be cut off. The Water Sanctum would be ostracized. Molsey explained that he had to put his sanctum first, and that unfortunately, he had agreed to put Damion's fate into the hands of the other masters. Molsey apologized profusely, and even a few tears escaped. He had promised Damian that he would always be there for him, and take care of him. But the masters might prevent him from continuing to take care of Damian. Molsey promised that he would always try to take care of him, in whatever way was possible, based on the master's decision. Damion's mind was blown at the revelation. Someone cared about what was happening to him. Someone cared about the situation of his life. And now the most powerful people in Harmura were gathering to discuss him and his life, and would decide what they thought was best for him. It had taken 9 months for the summit to finally occur. First, the masters wrote correspondences to each other detailing their opinions. Then they had long scheduling disputes, mostly having to do with the masters of the Flame and Ground Sanctums, because they believed the lifestyle of a Windborn to not be worth their time. But finally, The date had come. It wasn't cancelled at the last minute again. And Molsey is right now on the other side of the palace, in a meeting with the masters, while Damion waits patiently in Molsey's chambers.
He's standing at the window, gazing upon the scenery from this mountain palace. They're on the face of Harmony Mountain, looking over the Marsh Sanctum. Far across the expanse, beyond low ridges and pale mist, the Marsh Sanctum rises from the wetland gloom.
Beneath him, Harmony Mountain comes alive around the palace's central plaza. Spirit lanterns drift in measured orbits, casting halos over etched murals. The spirit portal rests at the center, offering a glimpse into something otherworldly. Damion is startled with a knock on the door. He looks at the door but doesn't answer it. He's not supposed to. There's another knock, and someone asks with a muffled voice through the door.
Damion, are you there?
He approaches the door and announces back. I'm here.
You've been summoned to appear at the summit.
What?
Damion blurts out, confused.
They want you to come join them. They sent me to escort you.
Damion blinks, stunned. Someone else is acknowledging him? He didn't realize he was standing in stunned silence until the muffled voice speaks up.
Will you please come out so I can escort you?
Damion shakes himself out of his stupor. I can't come out.
Why not?
Molsey said, I am not allowed to leave the room.
Molsey was part of the decision to have you join them.
I don't know that. I only have a disembodied voice telling me Molsey supposedly gave permission.
There's a long pause. Then the muffled voice asks,
would you come if I brought you a note from Master Molsey?
Damion thinks on it a moment.
Yes, if it's in his handwriting.
He'd recognize Molsey's handwriting anywhere.
I'll be back.
Then footsteps can be heard receding.
Damion sits down in front of the brazier and looks into the fire. He's still in a stupor. These people, these incredibly powerful people in control of Olaharmura, care about his life, and they actually want him present for the proceedings. Proceedings being held all because of him. He's just a bastard-born embry who never hoped to leave Skaldmir except for deployments. Yet here he is atop Harmony Mountain in the Palace of the Celestials, and being asked to join a meeting with the highest-ranking individuals of all Harmura. Damion gasps when the enormity of the situation hits him. After being lost in thought for some time, there is a knock on the door again.
I have the note you requested.
A piece of parchment slides under the door.
Damion picks up the note and reads it. It is unmistakably written in Molsey's fine script of gentle curves and delicate lines, and utterly controlled.
Damion, you are such a good boy. Please leave the room and allow yourself to be escorted to me. See you soon, Molsey.
Damion tentatively opens the door and is greeted by a Silvaran man. They both look at each other in stunned silence. Damion is momentarily distracted by his wings. They are beautiful. They're covered in green feathers tipped in azure highlights. They are so green, and so beautiful, and look so soft to the touch. The man makes his stunned silence apparent by clearing his throat and asking,
wouldn't you like to put on clothes?
Damion blinks down at himself. I never wear clothes. I haven't worn clothes in years. The man's jaw drops and openly gawks at him. He regains his composure, however, by snapping his jaw shut and schooling his features back to normal. The man shifts uncomfortably as he thinks,
this is normal for you.
Yes, this is normal.
Molsey expects this is how you will appear?
I can't imagine him expecting anything else of me.
In front of all the masters.
He didn't say in the note that I should change my appearance.
Damion grabs the note and hands it to the man.
The man's eyebrow twitches up, and he can be seen mouthing the words, good boy, and what the fuck. The man hands the note back to Damion, and expels a loud sigh, as he places a hand on his brow to think momentarily, and process what the fuck is happening. The man clears his throat.
Well, they are waiting for us. If Molsey is aware of your appearance, then I'll let the other masters decide how to deal with this.
The man makes a gesture to follow him.
Let's go then.
Damion lifts a hand and brushes the threshold. Nothing. No resistance. He steps forward, then steps again,
and finds himself in the hallway. Molse didn't put up a mountain seal to lock him in the chamber. His heart is warmed that Molse had trusted him, and he passed the test. Damion follows the escort, enjoying the view of those luscious green feathered wings the whole way. They move through the hushed corridor of pearl-veined stone, descend the broad ceremonial stairs of the grand entryway, and pass beneath the towering palace doors. Their rippling grain resembles wind-blown silk, but Damion doesn't notice. His gaze never strays from the sway of those wings. They descend the palace stairs into the central plaza. It's wide, circular, and open to the sky. Slender white obelisks ring the space, each etched with one of the trigrams that the sanctums represent. At the heart lies the spirit portal, a round gateway to the spirit realm. The air here feels sacred, soft and charged, like the hush before a vow. As they circle it, the portal remains a perfect circle, but the landscape it reveals shifts. Ocean cliffs, mountain mists, sunlit orchards, each echoing a different sanctum spirit. Beyond the obelisks, the escort turns to a stairwell carved into the mountainside. Damion follows the descent. The stairs lead to a low-lit circular chamber. Half the chamber is enclosed, its warm-toned metallic walls echoing gently with each footfall. The other opens into wide-windowed doors, all flung back to reveal a stone terrace suspended above the clouds. Pale stone pillars ring the terrace, framing a breathtaking view. Mist-draped ridgelines and, far below, the wetlands of the Marsh Sanctum. At the chamber's center lies a shallow basin of water, pulsing softly. 8 curved spokes extend from it, each etched with a trigram in shifting hues. 7 masters are seated in their corresponding sections, forming a space that feels both sacred and exposed. The 8th master has been missing for a millennia. Each master is accompanied by their chosen partner, except Molse, who sits alone, an empty chair at his side. Damion walks to him and kneels to his left. A master expels an exasperated sigh.
There is so much wrong with this situation.
He has dark skin, and his master's stole is green, with the Thunder Trigram embroidered on it.
Oh, for God's sake, he's naked!
Exclaims a stout master with dark skin, whose stole around her shoulders is brown with the ground trigram.
His kneeling automatically presumes his status. He should be seated in a chair.
Declares a master with black skin, wearing a white stole, with the sky trigram etched in silver.
One issue at a time. It appears we should pause the proceedings to address these issues,
says a pale master who seems to exude peacefulness. Her very voice seems to relieve the tension in the room. Her stole is grey, with the marsh trigram.
First issue raised is regarding Damien's clothing. Grandmaster Delena has declared this is an issue. Does anyone oppose?
They all eye each other, and no one says anything.
Does anyone oppose getting him some clothes to wear?
Molse uncrosses his legs, then crosses them again in reverse. All eyes shift to him. After a beat of silence, the Marshmaster declares,
All right, let's get him something to wear.
She snaps her fingers.
Can you bring in a robe for him?
A servant bows and leaves.
The second issue raised is the matter of him kneeling. Skymaster Halion has declared this is an issue. Does anyone oppose?
He should be allowed to attend these proceedings in any position that keeps him comfortable,
Molse says while picking some lint off his knee.
How can we possibly know what he wants with the threat of you looming over him?
The Thundermaster eyes the rest of the assembled people.
Watermaster Molse has spent the past 2 years brainwashing the poor man.
A master of fair skin says,
He should be presumed to have a status the same as any other person, and should be seated in a chair.
His stole is yellow with the mountain trigram. The servant returns with some grey and white robes and hands them to Damion with a bow. He accepts them, then looks up at Molse, who nods at him. Damion stands and puts on the robe. The Marshmaster puts up a hand.
Before you kneel again, Damion, let's take a vote. Yea, he should be seated in a chair. Nay, he should remain kneeling as he was. Let's start with Flame Master Sorvac.
Nay, says the master with coppery skin and a red stole with the flame trigram.
Nay.
From Grand Master Dalina.
Marsh Sanctum abstains as usual,
says the Master, running the proceedings.
Yea,
declares Sky Master Halion.
Water Sanctum abstains,
adds in Mulsey.
Yea,
says the Mountain Master.
Yea,
the Thunder Master says, with a roll of his eyes. The Marsh Master continues.
The yeas have it. Damion, please do sit in the chair to the right of Watermaster Mulsey.
Damion looks over at Mulsey, who merely nods at him again. Damion takes the seat, but sits awkwardly and tense. He's not used to this. He's used to kneeling, lounging on the floor, or curled up in a plush, oversized chair. He hasn't had to sit on a hard chair in, well, over 2 years.
Are there any other issues that should be raised regarding Damion's attendance?
The Marshmaster casts her eyes around the room, and no one says anything.
Let's continue then. The first question to be answered is whether the treaty that ended the Harmooran Civil War, intended for the abolishment of slavery, to apply to all beings, or grants only humans freedom from slavery. Since the treaty had not specified species, it is up to interpretation. One argument is that the lack of specification means the abolishment of slavery applies universally. The opposing argument is that since the war was specifically for the abolishment of human slavery, then the treaty applies only to humans. Does anyone have anything further to say?
The Marshmaster gazes around the room.
Since there are no further comments regarding the issue, we shall put it to a vote. Yea indicates slavery is abolished universally throughout Harmoora, and nay indicates slavery is only abolished for humans within Harmoora's lands. Flame Master Sorvac, you will start.
Nay.
The copper-skinned man votes.
Nay.
Groundmaster Dalena decides.
The Marsh Sanctum abstains.
The Marsh Master declares.
Yea.
From Sky Master Halion.
Yea.
Includes Marseille.
Yea.
The Mountain Master votes.
Yea.
Says the Thunder Master.
The yeas have it. We have agreed that slavery is abolished universally. Mulsey is not permitted to have a slave.
Damion has been trying to follow everything and has been overwhelmed. He hears Mulsey's name and knows a decision has been made against Mulsey. Does that mean Damion is winning? But Mulsey voted yea. What does that mean?
Next issue is Damion's classification. One interpretation is that Damion is a prisoner. The other interpretation is that he is a slave. Does anyone have anything further to say?
Mulsey sits up.
We need to first define what makes an individual a slave, and what makes one a prisoner.
Watermaster Mulsey has proposed we need defined definitions of the terms before we can continue. Are there any objections?
The definitions are obvious. It's a waste of our time.
Flame Master Sorvac grumbles.
It's not obvious.
Mulsey says and picks some lint off his lapel.
I find the difference between slavery and arranged marriages to be ambiguous at best, and identical at worst. It seems as though I could marry Damion and be able to do whatever I want with him without these objections.
You can't force someone to marry you.
The Mountain Master rolls his eyes.
Oh, really?
Mulsey raises his eyebrows.
Arranged marriages are traditionally done without the consent of the woman.
Consent is required for marriage. Even arranged marriages,
Master Sorvac presses.
I agree with Watermaster Mulsey. Traditional arranged marriages tend to extract consent under duress.
The Thundermaster says sympathetically.
Oh, this is ridiculous! We can't possibly allow Mulsey's treatment of Damion to redefine marriage!
Exclaims Sorvac.
I would be very comfortable with ensuring and enforcing that all marriages are consensual.
The Thundermaster says coolly, as he sits back and places an ankle on the other knee.
As long as it is ensured that Damion will be well cared for, I am willing to part with him in order for us to declare that all of Harmoora shall enforce that marriage may only proceed with the consent of both parties. Truly consensual, not made under duress.
Mulsey sits back in his chair.
Why are we discussing marriages?
Asks Sky Master Halion.
Mulsey, how do you always make everything a clusterfuck?
Groans the Mountain Master as he shakes his head.
That's twice now I have been addressed without my honorific. I cannot allow these insults to continue.
Mulsey sits up straight and puts on a stony face.
All of us shall be addressed with our honorifics,
the Marshmaster declares. Mulsey nods in gratitude.
We've gotten dewailed,
reminds Skymaster Halion.
All the more reason to support my proposal, that we define slavery and imprisonment. And let's add on marriage. We need to understand the boundaries of each of these three classifications. Molsey sits back in his chair.
I can't believe we're talking about slavery and marriage in the same breath,
Master Dalena says exasperatedly.
I concur.
Sorvac rolls his eyes.
This is what Water Master Molsey does. He confuses things,
the Mountain Master says with a wave of his hand.
Nuance has never been your strength, a lesson you still haven't learned.
Molsey glares at the Mountain Master, who growls in response.
Water Master Molsey, Mountain Master Garrick, do not let the personal business between you two seep into these proceedings.
The betrayal that got my family slaughtered is just personal business? His hand personally killed my father.
Mountain Master Garrick scoffs. The Marsh Master stands.
Let's break for lunch and let cooler heads return. Any objections?
She gazes around the room and sees only shaking heads.
Thank you for attending. Let's break for now. Lunch will be delivered to your chambers.
Everyone stands and begins to depart. Molsey turns to Damion and puts a hand on his shoulder.
Is everything okay?
Damion nods.
Let's go back to our room and we'll talk more.
Molsey and Damion begin to depart, and an escort finds them to lead them back. They are escorted to Molsey's chambers and head inside.
You can choose whether or not to remove the robe,
Molsey mentions as he climbs into the bed. Damion considers. He's kind of used to the freedom of not having clothes. He feels a bit confined. It's just too big and flowy. He decides to take off the robe, folds it and places it on the foot of the bed. Molsey pats the bed next to him. Damion crawls on, and Molsey guides him to put his head in his lap. He promptly starts stroking Damion's hair.
How do you feel about everything?
I don't know.
What don't you know?
I feel a lot of things.
Like what?
Damion sighs and thinks for a moment.
I want to have freedom.
I understand.
Molsey continues to stroke Damion's hair.
But I don't know where I fit in the world anymore. I'm no longer an Umberized soldier. What am I? Where do I go? What do I do?
If they order me to release you, then you can go and do anything you want. What do you want?
I don't know. I guess I want to belong somewhere, with someone, but I don't know how that can be possible after everything you've done to me.
You don't want to be with anyone who would judge you for the past 2 years. You should find people who accept you exactly the way you are, no matter what has happened.
Does a place like that exist for me?
Molsey sighs.
Honestly, I don't know. I can't tell you it will be easy, because it won't be. The world is a cruel and judgmental place.
I don't know what I want to happen.
It's out of our hands now. The masters will decide for you where you will go after these proceedings. Come home with me, or go off somewhere else.
Molsey turns Damion's head so they can look each other in the eye.
I will always try to take care of you, as much as the masters will allow me. If all I can do is give you a stipend for the rest of our lives, and that's what I'll do. You needn't suffer, I'll lift you up. If you're ever in danger, call for me and I will save you. Do you understand?
Damion solemnly nods his head.
I understand.
They lie in quiet with Molsey gently caressing Damion's hair. Then there is a knock at the door. It opens, and two servants come in with trays of food.
Lunch, Master Molsey.
The servant gasps.
Oh, Master Molsey, I'm so sorry. I didn't know we'd be interrupting anything.
Molsey waves a hand.
You're interrupting nothing. Come, set the trays on the table.
The servants scurry over to place the trays on the table, averting their eyes from the bed and Damion's naked form, then hurriedly scurry out the door and close it with a soft snick.
Hungry?
Damion nods his head.
Let's get up then,
Molsey says while giving his shoulder a double tap. Damion sits up, and they both roll off their respective sides of the bed. Molsey sits at the table, and Damion kneels in front of him. Molsey feeds him off his chopsticks as he's done for the past 2 years. Damion rarely has an opportunity to feed himself. Only on the rare occasions he's left alone all day. This is just the routine now. He doesn't even think about it anymore. He simply enjoys the flavor of the food.
When they finish eating, Morsay says,
I have some work to do before the proceedings start. You can read while you wait.
Morsay stands, pulls out some parchment and writing tools, and sits back at the table to work. Damion grabs a book from his side of the bed, then sits on the floor next to the brazier. He warms his wings while getting lost in a fictional world. Morsay eventually finishes his work, fetches his book and sits on an armchair. Damion scoots over and leans on Morsay's leg. This is their normal. They read in each other's company, and sometimes a question Damion asks about his book strikes up a conversation. Not too long after Morsay wrapped up his work, there is a knock on the door. Morsay finds a Silvaran man at the door, who says he's there to escort them back to the proceedings. Morsay looks over at Damion.
Put the robe back on, and let's go.
Damion scrambles up and dons the robe. The escort then leads them back to the meeting chamber. They arrive at the meeting chamber and everyone is already seated. It's clear they were summoned purposely so they would appear last. Morsay and Damion take their seats. The Marshmaster begins.
Thank you all for returning. We last left off with a proposal from Watermaster Morsay that we should first define terms for those being a slave, prisoner, or spouse. One argument is that these definitions are required to proceed, while the opposing argument is that it is a waste of time for these proceedings. Any other comments before putting it to a vote?
She gazes at the masters, and none speak up.
We shall vote then, yea if we should define these terms, or nay if it is unnecessary. Flame Master Sorvak, you go first.
May, he growls.
Nay,
says Groundmaster Dalena.
Marsh Sanctum abstains.
Yea.
From Skymaster Halion.
Water Sanctum abstains.
Adds in Morsay.
Mountain Master Garrick is about to speak, but then his red-haired partner whispers in his ear. He grimaces and looks pleadingly at the redhead, who returns an even more pleading expression. Garrick sighs.
Mountain Sanctum votes yea.
Yea,
declares the Thundermaster with satisfaction.
The yeas have it. The next item of our agenda is to define these terms. Watermaster Morsay, since you have initiated this proposal, you may start by providing your definitions.
Thank you, Marshmaster Saloon.
Morsay inclines his head.
I have proposed these definitions and written them down. I have a copy for each master.
Morsay stands and walks the circle to hand a single sheet of parchment to each of the other masters. He hands his copy to Danion to read.
The parchment reads,
Servant, one who freely chooses to enter a contract to provide their labor in exchange for a price. The servant may cancel the contract and cease their labor at any time without notice, and leave without retribution to themselves or loved ones. A servant cannot be harmed or put to death. Spouse, one who freely chooses to enter a contract to provide exclusive sexual intimacy and companionship mutually with a lover. The spouse may sever the contract at any time without notice, and without retribution to themselves or loved ones, and leave. A spouse cannot be harmed or put to death. Prisoner. One whose life is controlled as retribution for their behavior. A prisoner is not free to leave. A prisoner can be harmed and even put to death. Slave. One whose life is controlled due to birth or an immutable nature of their being. For example, species, skin color, eye color, etc. A slave can be harmed and even put to death.
I did not agree to bring the definition of servants into this discussion,
exclaims Master Damina.
Watermaster Morsay, the definition of servants was not part of the original proposal,
says Marshmaster Saloon calmly.
As I was defining these terms, I felt the contrast was necessary to point out. We can nearly use it as a tool for discussion and table having an official definition of servant to a separate vote.
We will use the concept of servants as a discussion point, but no decisions regarding a servant's definition shall be part of this proposal.
Master Saloon declares. Dalena sighs in exasperation.
This is what he does. He muddles things. He's a master of confusion.
Master Garrick grumbles.
What is the point of a contract if one side can just cancel it without notice?
Master Sorvak growls.
It is because of the nature of the power imbalances between a servant and manager and between a man and woman in traditional marriages. It ensures the weaker party is treated well during the period of the contract. It prevents the abuse of the power imbalance.
This makes contracts with servants and spouses useless,
complains Dilena.
As an alternative, we could have a long and complicated set of definitions on how to prevent abuse to servants and spouses,
Mulsey says with a wave of his hand.
But in reality, these contracts are about restricting the behavior of managers and husbands, not about obligating servants and wives to service.
Let's table these two definitions. We're here to decide if Damien is a prisoner or slave.
Sky Master Halion coolly presses.
We should focus on those terms.
There's quiet as everyone reads their parchments.
Of course this definition makes Damien defined as a prisoner. But we all know that no one would ever treat a prisoner the way that Mulsey is treating Damien,
admonishes Master Garrick.
In what way?
Mulsey asks as he sits back in his chair.
We don't fuck our prisoners,
growls Garrick.
Mulsey hums.
Is it not a common punishment to allow soldiers to have at a prisoner? Is it not common for guards to have their way with prisoners, especially female prisoners, with no consequences?
Everyone shifts uncomfortably in their seats.
They don't sleep in our beds. We don't pamper them with luxuries.
It is certainly common to provide prisoners luxuries in exchange for information or a form of labor.
What do you get in exchange for the luxuries you provide, Damien?
Inquires Skymaster Halion. Mulsey shifts in his seat uncomfortably, picks some lint off his sleeve, then says coolly,
obedience.
Garrick scoffs.
We don't brainwash our prisoners,
interjects the Thundermaster.
Isn't torture a form of brainwashing? We commonly torture to change their mind about sharing information,
Mulsey says with a raised eyebrow.
But it reverts as soon as the torture is alleviated. Damien's mind may very well be permanently altered,
explains the Thundermaster. Everyone's eyes turn to Damien. He shifts uncomfortably.
What is the definition of brainwashing?
Garrick's hands snap up defensively.
Oh no, we are not doing this again. He's going to have us debating the definition of every word, and these proceedings will never end.
Grumbling spreads through the room.
Then let's return to the definition of prisoner that I have proposed. What is wrong with the definition?
Mulsey tries to direct the conversation.
We know what you're doing to Damien is wrong,
the Thundermaster says sympathetically.
We just apparently cannot pinpoint what exactly is wrong.
None of you are willing to change in order to defend Damien.
Mulsey eyes each attendee in turn.
Everything you say I am doing wrong is something another of you does in your own sanctum. One or more of you is going to have to make changes to your own sanctum in order to free Damien.
Garrick rolls his eyes.
All we would have had to do is take a vote about whether or not to free Damien, but we didn't. And now Watermaster Mulsey has manipulated these entire proceedings to try to strong-arm us into blanket policy changes across Harmura.
You can allow me to keep Damien, or you can free Damien and also free others who are treated similarly.
Thunder Sanctum is not opposed to making policy changes in order to minimize this sort of excessive abuse.
Sky Sanctum is also willing to make policy changes.
Sorvac scoffs.
Flame Sanctum is absolutely not willing to make policy changes in order to free some windborn bastard,
he growls.
Ground Sanctum is not willing to make policy changes in exchange for Damien's freedom.
All eyes turn to Mountain Master Garrick.
The Mountain Sanctum.
Garrick starts, then his red-headed companion interrupts him.
Garrick's eyes pop open as wide as saucers.
Absolutely not.
His companion speaks again more firmly. And little more loudly, and my mother can be heard through the murmuring.
Garrick loudly sighs.
Mountain Sanctum needs to have a side conversation.
Master Saloon stands and speaks up.
All right, we'll take a 10-minute break.
Garrick and his companion stand and walk to a private space on the terrace. Attendees stand and stretch, and have low conversations with each other. Mulsey turns to Damien and suggests,
let's stretch and get some air.
They stand and stroll over to the terrace balcony and look over at Marsh's landscape far in the distance. Damien flares his wings slightly to feel the gusts of wind flick into the feathers of his wings.
Do you have any questions?
I wouldn't know where to begin.
Damion says with a shake of his head.
Yes, it can be hard to follow.
Mulsey says sympathetically.
My goal right now is to force policy changes in exchange for letting you go. If I have to let you go, I want something good to happen because of it. We're cruel to our servants. We're cruel to our wives. We're cruel to our prisoners. We're cruel people and allow cruelty to fester. I want someone to have a better life if I am forced to let you go.
Damion looks up at Mulsey to try to really see him. He originally considered him the epitome of evil. Damion furrows his brow. But things have been peaceful with him as of late. And now here he is professing to want to improve people's lives.
I have been evil.
Mulsey admits softly.
There is no excuse. But I can explain it by saying I have been prone to fall into the trappings of tradition and the absolute power afforded to masters.
He turns to face the meeting chamber and smirks.
Well, near absolute power. It amuses me that they are all fine with killing and torturing individuals, but here they are calling a meeting to judge me over my treatment of you.
Mulsey jerks his chin to Garrick and his red-headed companion, speaking animatedly to each other.
Garrick's guest is Zevin, who is the son of...
He jerks his chin towards the Flame Master.
Sorvac, who is absolutely cruel to his wife, Zevin's mother. Zevin's clever. He sees what I'm trying to do. So he's trying to ensure the population that gets improved treatment is wives, so that his mother may be freed.
Mulsey jerks his chin to the Thunder Master.
Darren also appears to be supporting the rights of wives. I'm not sure what his motive is, though.
Mulsey turns to Damion and steps close, putting his hands on Damion's hips and his forehead to Damion's.
I honestly don't know which outcome I want, either. I don't want to part from you, but the idea of helping wives across all of Harmura is tempting.
Damion is amazed at the turn of these events. If he understands things correctly, the decision here hinges not just on his freedom, but the freedom of an untold amount of other people across Harmura. And if he isn't freed, no improvements will be made to anyone else's life, either. With others on the line, he wants to be freed so others may be freed. Mulsey smiles and caresses Damion's face.
You're a good boy, Damion. It's in your very nature. I wonder who I would have been if I had a friend like you all my life.
Sorvac passes by and openly scoffs at them.
Disgusting!
A servant approaches and gently tells Mulsey and Damion that the proceedings are ready to begin again. Mulsey nods in acknowledgement and ushers Damion back to their chairs. Everyone gathers back into the meeting chamber and takes their assigned seats.
Thank you for returning. We had taken a break just as the Mountain Sanctum was to declare their willingness or not to make policy changes in their sanctum. Mountain Master Garrick, please give us your decision.
Garrick looks at Zevin and sighs.
Mountain Sanctum is willing to make policy changes.
The majority agree to make policy changes to their sanctums.
I said that I would absolutely not be willing to make policy changes.
Sorvac eyes everyone in turn.
You cannot force policy on my sanctum.
Everyone shifts in their chairs from discomfort.
Generally, sanctions are agreed upon by the other sanctums if one sanctum will not adhere to the policy changes. We had threatened sanctions on the Water Sanctum if Watermaster Mulsey did not attend these proceedings.
Sorvac narrows his eyes.
You wouldn't dare place sanctions on the Flame Sanctum. I produce the weaponry for Harmura.
He turns to Skymaster Halion and points at him.
Your sanctum would be defenseless without my weapons and mercenaries.
He then sits back and crosses his arms with a smug expression.
I am sure that Shinra would be more than willing to take up any trade deficits you create for me.
There is faint rustling of fabric and low murmurs as people discuss with their partners. Mulsey, however, stills preternaturally.
Fuck. I didn't expect Shinra to be brought into this.
Mulsey's voice enters Damion's mind. Damion looks up at him quizzically.
Shinra wants to conquer Harmura, and if the Flame Sanctum allies with them, we're done for.
Mulsey then addresses the group.
If your proposal is to work with our enemy, then perhaps we should instead put an end to your reign, Flame Master Sorvac. We can take our chances with your daughter, Velina.
Fire flares in Master Sorvac's eyes.
Shinra has been positioning itself for peace with Harmura. Their official envoy, Zudeshi, has been making her rounds with trade proposals.
Skymaster Halion says coolly,
"It's a lie. Their positioning is for war. Zudeshi is not an envoy of peace. She is a harbinger of doom."
Molsey narrows his eyes and gazes at each person in turn.
"You know I hate to agree with Water Master Molsey,"
Master Garrick adds in.
"But he is correct. Shinra is positioning for war. Zudeshi is not an envoy of peace."
Molsey nods politely at Garrick in acknowledgement for his support. Sorvac rolls his eyes.
"You two are the youngest masters. You know nothing of war."
"I was engaged to Zudeshi,"
Garrick says as he eyes everyone in turn.
"I ended our engagement when I ascended to master, because her lust for power is limitless. She wants a sanctum for herself, and she intends to take one by force."
"The Shogun of Shinra is the one who makes the decisions, not Zudeshi."
"And the Shogun of Shinra has sent the most depraved individual I have ever encountered to be a supposed envoy of peace. What does that say about how important peace is for Shimwar?"
"I concur that sending Zudeshi is suspicious. She praises peace, but she wears a comb decorated with teeth, supposedly of those she has tortured."
Thundermaster Daring comments.
"We have lost the point of our proceedings once again."
Master Halion sighs and rubs his forehead with his thumb and forefinger in frustration.
"Skymaster Halion is correct. The goal of this part of the proceedings is to define what is a slave versus a prisoner versus a spouse. Molsey has proposed definitions of each, and there has not been a consensus. Does anyone else have proposed definitions?"
Molsey waves a hand flippantly.
"The Flame Sanctum has declared they will refuse to adopt any definitions into their policies. Flame Master Sorvac is refusing any check on his power, and yet the goal of this summit is specifically to be a check on a master's power."
Molsey sits forward and looks at each person in the eye.
"If Flame Master Sorvac refuses to have the authority over his lands and people questioned, why should I submit to these proceedings that are specifically questioning the authority I have over the people of my sanctum?"
Sorvac scoffs.
"It's not my fault if my sanctum has a better negotiating position than your sanctum."
"Does that mean that the Flame Sanctum's weapons grants them more power over the rest of us? Are we inherently unequal? Mountain Sanctum suffers a trade deficit. Does that mean they should not even have a vote because they have little political or economic clout?"
Seven whispers frantically in Garrick's ear. Garrick scoffs and murmurs no. Zevon glares at him, then speaks up.
"Mountain Sanctum requests a 10-minute break."
Sorvac groans.
"Again?"
"Zevon, this is highly irregular. You are here as a courtesy, not to participate."
Molsey sits back and waves a hand.
"Let the Scorchlet have some time to whisper in Mountain Master Garrick's ear."
"I concur."
Master Darren agrees.
"Anyone else want a break?"
"I could use a breath of fresh air."
Master Delina sighs. Saluna stands.
"Then we'll have a 10-minute break. Thank you."
Everyone stands and murmuring starts as people talk to each other in hushed tones. Molsey guides Damion back to the balcony overlooking Marsh Sanctum. They gaze out, and Damion enjoys the wind in his wings.
"What a ruckus you have created, Molsey."
Darren approaches them nonchalantly. He gazes at Damion up and down.
"Who would have thought a bastard-born Emberi would have the chance to change all of Harmura?"
Damion stares at him quizzically.
"What?"
"We're all so appalled at what Molsey has been doing to you, that we are willing to change our sanctums in order to free you. And we have all been so disgusted with Water's sanctum of the Cutting Deep that we refuse to allow Molsey to win. We are going to free you, and we are going to improve all of Harmura in the process. Congratulations, Damion."
Damion's jaw drops. Darren smirks at Molsey and strolls away. Molsey turns to Damion and smiles at him sadly. He reaches out a hand to caress Damion's cheek, then reaches up to caress his hair, and puts his hand on the back of his neck, pulling him forward so their foreheads touch.
"This is the end of our time together, Damion."
Damion's eyes widen to the size of saucers. He can't believe what he is hearing. His life is going to change. He has a future. Dread then sinks down into Damion's core, but he has no idea what to do with that future. A servant approaches them
and tells them it's time for the proceedings to start again. Everyone strolls back to the meeting chamber and circles the edge to find their seats.
Thank you for returning. Mountain Sanctum had something they wanted to say.
Garrick clears his throat and adjusts his clothing.
Yes, the Mountain Sanctum proposes that if Flame Master Sorvac refuses to have his sanctum follow policy set by this summit, that he should be removed from power.
Water Sanctum agrees, Lilsay says quickly.
Thunder Sanctum concurs,
Durin announces.
Sorvac's chair flies back from the force of him jumping to his feet.
What? We're here to free a fucking bastard Windborn from the Water Sanctum, and somehow this summit has been twisted to remove me from power.
Sorvac points at every master.
The only way to remove a master from power is death. Are you really willing to execute me? You'll just be putting yourselves closer to the executioner.
Sorvac yanks his wife to her feet.
We're leaving. These proceedings are a sham.
The summit will continue regardless of your presence. If you choose to leave, decisions will be made without your input.
Sorvac's face turns red. Fire flares in his eyes. His wife grimaces and glances at the wrist Sorvac is gripping tightly. Then his wife closes her eyes and can be seen breathing deeply as her entire body tenses.
Is this really acceptable to do to one's wife?
Sorvac suddenly lets go of his wife's wrist. It can be seen to have a red handprint burned around it. The masters glance at each other.
Sky Sanctum supports defining marriages to prevent these sorts of abuses of power.
Thunder Sanctum concurs.
Water Sanctum agrees.
Mountain Sanctum agrees.
After a display like that, Ground Sanctum is forced to concur.
Sorvac flares his arms.
This is fucking ridiculous!
He turns around and yells to a servant.
Get me a god's damn chair!
A servant scrambles forward to lift his fallen chair and put it back in place. Sorvac flops in the chair with a huff, then waves at his wife to sit down.
Now what?
Sorvac crosses his arms and grumbles.
We are back to the definitions of slave, prisoner, and spouse. There is no consensus on Mulsay's proposed definitions. Are there any other proposed definitions?
I propose we break for the evening to give us time to research and draft adequate definitions.
Master Darren suggests.
Sky Sanctum concurs.
Seven whispers in Garrick's ear.
Mountain Sanctum concurs.
Garrick sighs.
Then we'll break for the evening and come back together in the morning.
Before we go,
Darren interjects.
I believe that Damien should be given his own accommodations, separate from Mulsay.
Damion's breath hitches.
Flame Sanctum agrees,
Master Sorvac says with a sneer towards Mulsay.
Mountain Sanctum agrees.
Damien will be granted his own accommodations.
She turns to Damion.
Stay here, and someone will escort you to your chambers.
Damion's jaw drops.
If that is all?
Saloon looks back and forth.
Then we're on break until the morning. Dinner and breakfast will be served to your chambers.
Everyone stands and mills about, murmuring quietly to each other. Mulsay turns to Damion and takes both of his hands in his own and smiles sadly.
You're on your own tonight. If you need anything, let me know.
He taps a finger to his head. Mulsay will keep attention on Damion through telepathy. Damion nods solemnly. Mulsay squeezes Damion's hands and steps back. Damion watches him turn and walk away, having absolutely no idea what he's supposed to do with himself. Fortunately, he doesn't have to stand dumbfounded for too long, because a Sylvaran man approaches him and offers to escort Damion to his chambers. Damion nods and follows silently. They arrive at a door, and the escort opens it and enters. Damion gingerly follows him inside. The escort turns and gestures at the room.
Are these accommodations adequate?
Damion barks a laugh. Yes, it's fine. The escort bows and exits, closing the door behind him with a soft snick. Damion circles around in awe. It's all his. He can do whatever he wants. What does Damion want? He flops himself on the bed and stares at the ceiling.
What do I want?
After a while, there is a knock on the door. Damion doesn't move at first. There is another knock. Then Damion realizes it's his chambers, and therefore whoever is knocking expects him to be the one to answer. Damion tentatively opens the door and finds Master Derren and Zeven standing there. He blinks at them in surprise.
You're going to come and help us,
Derren says.
What?
Damion asks, puzzled.
We need to understand what has been done to you in order to best ensure our definitions achieve our goals.
And those goals are?
To free you and my mother, Seven says bluntly.
Damion just blinks at them blankly.
What?
Derren sighs. Just come with us. He grabs Damion's wrist and tugs him hard so he stumbles out of the room and starts dragging him down the hallway. Zeven snickers and closes the door to Damion's chambers before following behind them. Darren leads them down the corridor into another chamber where Master Garrick is seated in an armchair with a bored expression.
Durham sweeps a hand around the room.
Let's all sit.
Seven sits in the armchair opposite Garrick. Darren plops down on a couch with his legs wide and arms resting on the back. Damion nervously looks around and then sits in front of the brazier to have his wings warmed up.
You don't need to sit on the floor, Damion.
Damion ruffles his wings.
I like to warm my wings in front of the fire.
Derren smiles sympathetically.
Okay. Whatever you like best. Feel free to sit in a chair or the couch if you change your mind.
Damion nods.
Yeah, okay.
There's a sharp knock on the door. Derren yells,
Come in!
Representing the epitome of elegance, two starborns stride into the chamber. One is a red-headed woman in an exquisite ensemble with red eyes, and the other is a man with long flowing black hair and blue eyes.
Velina!
Seven whips his head to Derren.
You invited Velina?
Hello, little brother. A pleasure seeing you again. What's it been? 100 years?
We are dangerously close to taking down your father. Velina deserves to help and needs to be temporarily hidden so she isn't murdered in a fit of fury from your father.
Garrick looks up at the two new arrivals.
Please, sit.
They take up spots on the couch opposite Derren and sit comfortably. Zeven gawks at them while they move to sit.
Damion has been thrown into this, so I'll start with introductions. Damion is the incredibly handsome Ember I hear. This is Mountain Master Garrick, and this is his confidant, Zeven and Flame Master Sorvac's son.
He points to the two newcomers.
Falina, another child of Sorvac and presumptive heir, and her husband, Maedor. And just in case you forgot, I'm Thunder Master Derren.
Damion nods and swallows.
Nice to meet you.
Actually, he's fucking intimidated to have such powerful people surrounding him. How did his life just turn around like this? Last night he was being fucked by Molsey, and tonight he's in a meeting to conspire to take down a random sanctum master he barely knew existed yesterday. Darren claps his hands together.
Our goal for this evening is to define slave, prisoner, and spouse in such a manner that frees Velina and Zevin's mother from Sorvac's grasp and prevents Molsey from continuing to treat Damion so abysmally.
By the gods, how did you ever get to the point where a definition of terms can take down my father?
Garrick waves a hand to brush the question away.
Long story. You can bank Molsey for it later.
Belena and Maedor look at each other with an eyebrow raised.
I have an idea of everyone's motives except for you, Derren. Why are you invested in this?
Garrick asks suspiciously. Garrick shrugs.
Can't a sanctum master fight against injustice when he has an opportunity to?
Belena smirks like she knows something. Garrick narrows his eyes at him.
Historically speaking, it doesn't happen.
Well, it should. Let's not question my motives. Let's get to work.
Preventing work from moving forward. There is a knock on the door, and it opens with a servant carrying a tray of food. They gaze around the room and blink in surprise.
Derren calls out.
Yes, sorry. Damion, Zeven, and Master Garrick will be taking their meals in here. I have also invited two guests.
The servant leaves the tray on the table and bows.
We'll come back with 5 more dinner trays.
Thank you!
Garrick shouts as the servant disappears behind the door. Derren rubs his hands together and smiles conspiratorially.
Let's get started, shall we?
Garrick waves a hand flippantly.
We all know what Molsey is doing to Damion is more like a slave than a prisoner, but we don't know how to define why.
Garrick puts his thumb and forefinger to his forehead and growls.
Mulsey is so frustrating. He provides these definitions that clearly make Damien a prisoner, and seem to make sense, and yet we just know in our guts that they're wrong. What he is doing to Damien is wrong.
Gamion clears his throat.
But from what I can see, his definitions give wives much more freedom. Why not just accept his definitions and free the wives and let me continue as I am?
No. These proceedings are specifically about you. We can't not address your problem while simultaneously making sweeping changes to a completely separate issue. And besides...
Garrick's hands grip the arms of the chair tightly.
I'm here to fuck over Mulsey.
He turns to Zevon and then Valena as he relaxes his hands.
I feel for your mother, I do. But I didn't come here for her. I came here to put Mulsey in his place.
There is a knock on the door, and five servants come streaming in with dinner trays. They each walk up to someone to hand them a tray. One offers a tray to Damion. He's shocked. He's been included, not ignored, and passed over. He's a person again. He gingerly accepts the tray and carefully places it on the floor in front of him. The conversation stops as everyone gets situated with their trays. Damion just stares at his. He hasn't had his own food to eat with people in over 2 years.
Damien, why aren't you eating?
Damion shakes away the stunned thoughts in his head.
It's new to me. Mulsey always fed me from his chopsticks.
Damion shifts uncomfortably.
Like a baby.
The sounds of chopsticks dropping onto plates echo. Maedor's hands are by his mouth as he says,
I can't believe Mulsey did that to you. He's changed so much since we were kids.
He lowers his hands.
He seems to be more like his father now.
He shakes his head. Damion sighs and picks up his chopsticks. They feel foreign in his hands. He lifts some food. Such a routine experience feels so fresh and new to him. He raises his own chopsticks to his own mouth and sucks off the bite. He sighs contentedly. It feels good to do this for himself.
Damien, can you please tell us your story? Can you help us to understand what has been happening to you?
All eyes turn to Damion. A flush washes across his skin. His throat bobs as he swallows.
Where do I start? What do you want to know?
What is your day-to-day life now? Seven asks softly.
Damion sighs loudly.
It's pretty boring. Kind of peaceful. We train and spar in the morning, and I read in the afternoon while he works. Then we usually read together and talk in the evening. Oftentimes we go flying.
Unless he has guests over. Then we all lounge in the parlor while they chat.
There's quiet as everyone looks at each other. Then Maedor asks as softly and gently as possible, and the sex? Damion squirms uncomfortably. He swallows.
Yes.
What is the nature of the sex?
Maedor asks even more gently,
if that is even possible.
Damion flicks his eyes around the floor. He doesn't want to discuss this. No one knows about it. It's just between him and Mulsey. He wants this to himself. Garen crosses the room to sit on the floor a few feet in front of Damion. He tries to speak carefully, like one would try not to startle a scared animal.
The sex is what calls out to us as being so wrong. The details can help us to understand what's happening, so we can put restrictions on it.
What does it matter? Raping prisoners is already standard procedure. Why do you care if Mulsey does it to me?
Damion averts his eyes to the side and stares at the floor. The others look at each other again. Valena speaks up.
There's something wrong with what Mulsey has been doing, but we can't quite put our fingers on it.
Just ban rape altogether and be done with it.
After a few moments, Garrick says,
We can only help one population at a time, and right now our goal is helping wives, not prisoners.
Damion loudly sighs.
Can you start at the beginning? Tell us what happened.
Damion groans and rests his elbow on his knee and his forehead in his hand. He takes a deep breath in and out, then he begins softly.
Rape is his primary form of torture.
Maedor gasps. Damion sighs and continues speaking with his forehead in his hand.
His goal is to strip dignity, so he uses the repeated humiliation of a man raping a man to break someone.
He clears his throat.
To break me.
Damion takes a deep breath and continues.
He's very good at it.
at giving pleasure. Sexual pleasure. I can have the choice of either suffering pain and humiliation through the rape, or enjoyment and bliss.
In the beginning, he kept me so tired and exhausted that I chose enjoyment in order to recuperate my energy. That kind of choice just further strips dignity.
Gamion sighs. So we have sex daily and I enjoy it. To survive. To cope.
That's so wrong.
Maedor whispers into the quiet room.
Garrett clears his throat, then says much more brutishly than he should.
What about the anal plug? We've heard about an anal plug.
Damion sits up and rolls his neck and shoulders.
Gods, this is so uncomfortable.
He takes a deep breath, then starts.
He's been using the anal plug to modify my hole to make it easier to fuck me. Less prep time. It's been successful. I don't need any prep anymore. Just a whale.
Tears start to fall down Maedor's cheeks.
Thank you, Damien. That was difficult for you, and I really appreciate that you opened up for us so we can understand things better.
Damion dips his head in acknowledgement. He keeps his eyes down on his dinner tray and aimlessly pushes around the food. Garen stands up. As he walks towards the table, he says,
I have an idea for the definitions of slave and spouse.
He grabs some parchment and writing supplies.
We can then use Damien's story to figure out appropriate restrictions to place on prisoners that would force Mulsey to free Damien.
He kneels down at the low-lying table in the middle of the seats and writes down the definition of a slave. Slave, one whose life is completely controlled by another. There are no restrictions on this level of control. The slave may be harmed or even put to death.
This basically says that absolutely anything can be done to a slave without restrictions.
Explains Darren. He looks around and everyone nods their head. Darren then writes down his definition of a spouse. Spouse. One whose life is joined with another with whom they work for each other's mutual benefit. They may not cause each other harm nor kill each other.
This should hopefully fit Hamaran's opinion of what marriage should be, while still prohibiting domestic abuse. Mulsey couldn't just marry Damien and treat him the same way. And Sovak has to either stop dominating and abusing his wife, or give her up.
Gee, look at that, Valina.
Maedor turns to her with a wide smile.
With this definition, we're spouses.
Seven looks at them puzzled.
You don't fit Morsay's definition of spouses.
Nope.
Valena smirks. Garen waggles his eyebrows at Maedor and Valena in a knowing fashion. Beren smirks. Anyway, he looks down and points at the definition of slave.
I think a prisoner is essentially a slave, but with restrictions.
He looks up at everyone.
What are those restrictions?
No one sleeps in the same bed as their prisoners,
Derek declares. Valena nods.
I can't think of any good reason why anyone would share their home with their prisoners.
Garen looks around and sees nodding heads.
Okay, first restriction is that a prisoner must be housed separately from their captor.
He writes it down on the parchment. Darren looks up.
Any others?
The anal plug,
Maedor says.
Changing him just to please Mulsey. It's repulsive.
Damion sighs. There's also the tum ring. He sticks out his tongue.
Oh gods.
Maedor gasps, immediately grasping the implications of it.
I'm so sorry.
Mulsey changed Damien's body, just for his own sexual pleasure.
Seven shakes his head solemnly. Darren takes a deep breath.
So, a prisoner's body cannot be altered for the purpose of sexual gratification of the captor.
He looks at everyone for approval.
There's no good reason for it. No one does it.
Derek says bluntly. Garen nods and writes it down. He looks up.
Any more?
Damion clears his throat.
What about the pet thing?
Can you explain?
He calls me his pet. He likes to pet me, and for me to sit between his legs, curl up in front of a fire. He'll lead me around by a leash.
'Cause effectively having you do things for his personal gratification, it has nothing to do with your imprisonment.
He calls it part of his breaking process. That he does everything for a reason in order to break me.
Has he said why he wants to break you?
Gamion shrugs.
He wants me as a personal pet. He wants me to be a shame upon Skaldnir to prevent another civil war.
He is literally specifying two separate purposes. One for his sanctum, and one for his own personal gratification. It's the personal one that is so reprehensible, points out Seven.
It is common to have a prisoner do things for the benefit of the sanctum. It is disgusting when someone forces a prisoner to do something for their own sick pleasure.
Garrick presses.
I agree,
Velina adds in.
Darren looks around and sees nodding.
Okay, how about prisoners cannot be manipulated or coerced to perform behaviors for the personal gratification of others?
Any more?
Darren looks around.
I believe this is enough to free both Damien and your mother.
What about why someone has become a prisoner? They shouldn't be born prisoners. They shouldn't just be imprisoned because someone wanted them controlled. There should be a reason why someone is made into a prisoner.
Garen nods.
Mose was correct in adding those clauses into his definitions.
He speaks while writing.
A prisoner's life is controlled because of their prior behavior.
He looks up and sees everyone nodding.
I'll write this up more clearly.
Darren studiously focuses on his writing.
We're slaves,
Maedor says softly.
By these definitions, we're Sorvac's slaves.
Belena nods.
He closely controls our lives. We live with him, and he coerces us to do things for his personal gratification.
She squeezes Maedor's hand.
And we didn't do anything to deserve it. I was born as his child, and you were forced to be my husband.
Seven nods gravely. Dairon looks up.
We're taking him down. It's all ending soon.
He returns to his writing and finishes up. He turns the parchment to face everyone.
This is what we have.
Prisoner. One whose life is controlled by another for the reason of the prisoner's prior behavior. A prisoner may be harmed or even put to death. However, there are restrictions on the treatment of a prisoner. None of the following can occur.
They cannot be housed with their captor.
Their body cannot be altered for the purpose of sexual gratification of others.
They cannot be manipulated or coerced to perform behaviors for the personal gratification of others.
If any of these restrictions are violated, the prisoner is instead classified as a slave.
It looks good,
Seven breathes.
It's good.
Felina nods.
Darren looks over at Garrick.
Will you vote for these definitions? Will you apply them to your sanctum? Will you vote that Damien is classified as a slave?
Garrick gives a curt nod.
Yes, this meets all of my goals, and I am happy to apply these definitions to my sanctum.
That's two votes between you and me. There is a chance Halion will see the logic in this and also vote for it.
Sorvac won't vote for this. He knows this will force his entire lifestyle to change, Zevon cautions.
Mose will vote for it.
All eyes turn to Damien. He looks up at them.
He told me he's willing to let me go if it means improving the lives of wives across Harmura.
They all sit up and look at each other in shock.
He really said that?
Thelina asks incredulously.
He said his goal with these proceedings has been to have something good happen to the people of Harmura if he is forced to let me go.
They all sit in stunned silence. Darren breaks it.
Mose appears to be a complex individual.
Damion puts his face in his hands.
He can be overwhelming for sure.
He shakes his head.
He's been so evil to me, but also gentle. He really acts like he cares for me, but also wants to dominate me.
He sighs.
I'm sorry he's been putting you through that. Hopefully you'll never be under his control ever again.
Damion nods and smiles sheepishly. Darren puts his hands on the table in a gentle thump that catches everyone's attention.
The evening grows late. I believe we've accomplished what we needed to do. If there isn't anything else, I'd like us all to disperse so I can get some work done before sleeping.
One thing.
Seven raises a finger.
Valena! I believe you should evacuate our siblings. Father may very well become explosive over this, and they'll be at high risk of being harmed. You all should stay here until he has been dealt with.
Velina nods gravely.
I'll retrieve them and bring them here.
Theron smiles sadly.
Okay, if that's all, let's get a good night's sleep. It's a big day tomorrow.
He turns to Daniel.
I'll walk you back to your chambers.
Everyone stands and bids their farewells before filing out of Darren's chambers. Darren gestures to Damion to follow. He chats while they walk down the corridor.
Do you know what you're going to do next?
Damion expels a slow exhale.
No fucking clue. I can't go back to Skaldmir, and I have no idea where else I can fit in the world.
Saloon has domestic abuse support networks and safe houses. I am positive she'll invite you to stay and use their services. You aren't alone in not knowing your place after being controlled so firmly for so long. These support services will help you find a place.
They reach Damion's door and stop. Darren turns to him and places a hand on his shoulder.
Good luck, Damion. I wish you the best.
Damion ducks his head.
Thank you.
Baron smiles, then turns and walks away. Damion watches him until he disappears back into his chambers. Damion enters his chambers and closes the door. He stands there gazing around the room. He has no idea what to do.
I guess I should just sleep.
He removes the robe and tosses it over a chair, then crawls into bed. After a moment, he scoots over to the center of the bed. He lies on his back and flares out his arms and legs wide and stretches out his wings so they dip over either edge of the bed. He lies there content to take up space, making himself large, owning the bed just for himself. He closes his eyes intending to sleep, but it doesn't come. He's thinking about the future, about an actual future, and it's just filled with confusion and anxiety. He has no idea what is in store for him. He gets flustered and turns to his side to curl up. After more moments of anxiety, he huffs and turns to the other side into an even tighter ball. Finally, he gets up and paces the room. The chamber starts growing heavy, confining. His breathing becomes rapid, stressful. Razor blades fill his lungs.
Fuck, I'm having a panic attack.
He sees the door to the balcony and rushes outside and drinks in the air while bending over the balcony. It doesn't work. He's still starving for air. Then Morse's voice floats through his mind.
Breathe in, hold, breathe out, hold, breathe in.
He follows the instructions blindly. He has no idea if this is a memory or if Morse is actually in his head. But he's so starved for air it doesn't matter. The instructions continue until his breathing is effortless and the razor blades are gone. The anxiety is drifting away and calm is drifting in. Finally, he breathes in the fresh, crisp air deeply, then lets out a long sigh. There is so much ahead of him, so much unknown. He lifts his gaze to the heavens. The stars here above Harmony Mountain shimmer through thin, high clouds, gentle, serene, untouched. But they aren't his stars. Not like those above the Water Sanctum, where the night sky gleams sharp and endless, reflected in every canal and pool. A place where even the stars seem doubled. His chest tightens. His last time to see that mirrored sky has already passed. Everything is changing. It's already changed. It's happening so fast. He's being quickly whisked away to a strange new future. He flares his wings. He wants to fly. He has always burned up emotional energy by flying.
I want to fly. I want to fly. I wish I could fly.
Then it hits him. There is nothing preventing him from flying. He stands on the balcony. He can just leave. He can jump into the air and fly up, up, up. He looks around for what he doesn't know. He's used to being scared, of worrying he might do something wrong. But supposedly he's free now. Molse has been giving his blessings to let him go. So perhaps he can just go. He raises his arms and stands on his tiptoes. He slowly shifts his weight forward, so he tilts ever so slightly, ever so slowly. And then the tipping point is breached, and he falls forward rapidly. His wings give a mighty beat, and he's floating. Gliding. He glides upwards and flaps his wings so he flies up, up, up. He dares a look back to the palace, and it grows smaller and smaller. He's leaving it all. He's leaving Morse. He's alone, and Morse is left behind. He focuses forward back to the sky. He's flying up, up and away. He's so high the atmosphere cannot hold him aloft any higher. He's getting drunk on oxygen deprivation. He looks down at the sparkling lights of the palace. Everything is so tiny,
so insignificant, so unimportant.
He circles around the palace and makes a gradual, slow descent with every revolution. The details of the palace become clearer, larger, meaningful, important. He's wanted at the meeting tomorrow, where he'll be officially freed and countless wives will be granted greater rights, where one specific woman, the shy red-headed wife of the Flame Master, will be rescued.
He circles slowly back down. He finds his balcony and lands softly. He's wanted for something tomorrow. Something good. He pictures the face of the shy red-headed woman. He pictures the raw, blistered mark on her wrist. She'll hopefully be freed tomorrow, too. Because of him. Because of everything he went through. Her suffering may end.
He steps back into his chambers and crawls into bed under the covers. He wraps himself up tightly. Tomorrow everything will change, and he drifts off peacefully.
You've been listening to Breaking Free by Emery Loon. Narration produced with AI voice technology. Thank you for listening.